Today on Real Life Radio.
No minister is worth his weight in salt if he cannot say or show you by the way they speak or live, follow me as I follow Christ. If they can't say that, then it's time for you to find a new church. This is a big deal. The pulpits and the pastors of America's pulpits and Europe's pulpits should be alive. Why? Because we have a responsibility to God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen up. This is a very, very important plea. And it's not a plea for us here at the Real Life Network. It's a plea actually for you. We are living in remarkable moments, remarkable times, and you literally need the Real Life Network to be able to be available to you in an instant. In fact, we have just been meeting on how we can reach you live 24/7, 365 in the event of an emergency, in the event of a crisis. How can you connect with us and get biblically based, honest news in light of what's going on in the world around you? RealLifeNetwork.com. We cannot be canceled. And for this reason, now we see the clarity of why God brought us to do this channel in the first place. RealLifeNetwork.com. Sign up, subscribe, get ready. We will literally be broadcasting the truth to you.
Sign up for free at RealLifeNetwork.com. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now begins a series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, Why Should the Christian Care? Now, when we look at our Christianity, there's no place in life where a Christian should not be a Christian, including politics. Now, this is why this series is vitally important, especially when it comes down to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to tune in and tell your friends and family about it, too. You see, as Christians, we are not only living by a spiritual mandate, but a cultural one as well. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world, and we have a responsibility to be a public witness of our faith to the world. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that our Christian influence throughout history, it simply can't be ignored. Our biblical worldview speaks to our culture in various ways, and voting is one important way to voice our influence for good. Now with his message called, Why Should the Christian Care? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
That will be the passion of these weeks ahead of us as we get down to the election on these Wednesday nights, as we go through these hot button topics, is to persuade men. That is a biblical thing. We are, as Christians, to persuade people. What's a fancy word for persuading? We are to offer up apologetic, apology, not sorry apology, apology as in the defense of an argument. An attorney gives an argument for his case, and he does it in an apologetic manner, not, I'm sorry, Your Honor. That's not what the word means. It's, Your Honor, here's the reason why I'm presenting my case. Here's the evidence. Here's the fact. I make my apologetic presentation. It is an argument. It is a presentation. We're going to do that. We as believers come from a long line, if you're wondering, of cultural impacting people. Let me name a few of them who have influenced their culture, listen, in the realm of politics slash government. Because someone's going to tell you, well, you know what? That church or that pastor or that, you know, you Christian, you're too political, and I'm against being political. I take up issues that are biblical, and I, listen, over my dead body will I allow politics to come and steal God-ordained topics and have them make it their own. It's not going to happen. No way. And hallelujah, someday government will answer to God. God will never answer to government. And on top of it, he's the inventor of government. It's one of the three great sacred institutions that God has established. Think of that. When someone wants to argue with you, you argue back and say, who invented government? And the Bible tells us. We'll build more and more of that as the weeks progress. So here's your examples. Men of God who encountered politically in a governmental way their cultures. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Daniel? Daniel saw no problem taking his faith into the public arena. What about Esther? Wow. What about Jeremiah? You know, I lift out Moses, but Moses, did Moses take his faith before the very ruler of the world, Pharaoh? Absolutely. What about Isaiah? Boy, Isaiah did that. What about this guy? He pulled no punches, this one. He walked right into the den of government and said, "You're in trouble with God." John the Baptist. John the Baptist walked right into the governmental halls of power and said, "You're sinning against God by having your brother's wife." Can you imagine? Even Paul the Apostle, I love this. Paul the Apostle used his political privilege to demand to the Roman Empire regarding his case of Christianity, "I appeal to Caesar as a Roman citizen." And the law, listen, the law said any Roman who had a case could appeal to Caesar in Rome. And the Roman government would pay for your trip to argue your case. And Paul the Apostle, being a Christian, said, "I want to make my case and I want to tell it to everybody. And so I'm in trouble right now for preaching the resurrection of the dead. Okay, well, here it is. I appeal to Caesar. I'm a Roman citizen. I want to go to Rome. I want to tell Caesar my case." And he did. He saw no difference of separation of church and state, which, by the way, does not exist. I challenge you, I invite you, go find it, and I'll read it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead..." Listen, here's the reason why. Isn't this amazing? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Did you hear that? Everybody, you guys awake? You're so quiet. My goodness, you think we're talking about something controversial tonight. Look at that. "Pray for the authorities over your life." What authorities? All authorities. Governments, military, police, all of it. Judges, pray for them. Why should I pray for them? So that you and your family and your church and your community, everybody, non-Christians included, atheists, all kinds of people, Muslims and Mormons, can live a quiet and peaceable life. Did you know that right there is an awesome thing? You will never find that. Listen up. You will never find that incredible religious tolerance in any other religion, in any other country, on the face of the earth, where Christianity teaches that if you're an absolute atheist, you should be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. Hallelujah. Even if you don't believe in God. You cannot find that freedom anywhere, and we'll hear more about that tonight. It is amazing to think. We don't kill non-believers. We don't kill cult members. We don't kill evolutionists. We don't kill those who disagree with our worldview. Try that somewhere else. It's pretty remarkable. We persuade men. We don't coerce them. We persuade, and I like that. You know, we've grown so weak in our culture that if you get in a debate with somebody, if people get, "Well, you hurt my feelings." When someone starts winning the argument, then the guy that's getting whipped because he's got a weak argument or doesn't know how to defend his argument then pulls the "you hurt my feelings" card. It's sad that we've gotten that fragile as a culture. But we are to persuade people with loving, beautiful, logical, reasonable arguments. And so listen, I can say this tonight because I is one, and that is Christian pastors are commanded to be the cultural watchmen to their society. And the Christians that God has placed under their watch are to mimic their pastors. Paul the Apostle said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now, what you want to do is make sure that your spiritual leaders are following Christ. If they're not following Jesus, then get out and find a safe place. That is important. But Paul said, "As I follow Christ, follow me." No minister is worth his weight in salt if he cannot say or show you by the way they speak or live, follow me as I follow Christ. If they can't say that, then it's time for you to find a new church. This is a big deal. The pulpits and the pastors of America's pulpits and Europe's pulpits should be alive. Why? Because we have a responsibility to God. We will answer to God in the end someday. In Acts chapter 20, verse 26, the Bible says, therefore, Paul said, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, all of it, everything that deals with life. And let me ask you something. If you're still not getting it tonight, do you understand that those who hold political power exercise their opinion, they're not supposed to, they're supposed to exercise your opinion over the will of the people. They're not to dictate to us. That's not the way this country is. Our leaders are supposed to listen to us and then do the will of the people. Today, we have judges overthrowing the will of the people. Why did they ever think they could do this? Because we gave them the green light because we never speak up. They know they can overturn the popular vote on an issue because they know you won't do anything about it. And we begin to be governed by a few rather than those who are in government answering to us, we the people. You say, man, that's political. That's the government God has given us. And I thank God for it. I'm proud and thankful to be an American. But I got to tell you something. The America that is being reconfigured in front of us, I don't recognize. And I'm not that old, really. Let's put this up on the screen. Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson, author. By the way, you can read other things. Read Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Religious Freedom for the State of Virginia. You got to read that. If you think this is a fluke, you should read Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Religious Freedoms for the State of Virginia. In the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." That means any bonehead can figure it out. That all men are created equal. I mean, are you really intellectually, morally, spiritually, socially honest? Does it take an Einstein to figure out that you should come to the conclusion that all of us are created equal? Anybody who comes along and says, we are not created equal, that is one sick human being. And by the way, when a religion comes along and says, you people are for the flames of hell, only we are the ones. Listen, that is one sick thought. That is not of God. Watch this. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Every one of us in this room tonight, enjoy that as we sit here.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
By the way, I learned something the other day from Dennis Prager. Anybody know Dennis Prager? You ever listen to Dennis Prager? You ought to start getting his podcast. You'll download your automatic sign up, subscribe to his podcast to Prager University. It's amazing. The guy's Jewish. He's more Christian than most Christians. It's amazing. And he held up a coin and he said, you know, on every coin, there's no nation on the face of the earth that has its purpose and its vision and its declaration of value, but America, on every bit of its currency, a penny. Do you have a penny in your pocket? A penny. How much is a penny worth? Oh, not much. Let me argue with you. It's worth a lot. It's got a story on it. Number one, you'll find the word liberty on the penny. Number two, you're going to find in God we trust on the penny. And then thirdly, e pluribus unum, out of many one, united. There's a trinity of freedom on every bit of U.S. currency. Every one of those three things deal with or point to God. Every one of them. In God we trust, out of many one, unity, and liberty. All comes from God. Very interesting to keep in mind. Let's look at the screens again regarding the First Amendment. A lot of talk going on right now about the First Amendment on the news. It's as though it's hot off the press. First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Stop right there. Keep it on the screens. That statement right there takes the current movement in America regarding Sharia law mandated by government, Islamic Sharia law. It's being discussed right now in American courts. That right there demands it be thrown out. Our judges don't care. Our legal system doesn't care because the Constitution's getting trashed. That right there says no state mandated religion. You know why it's in there? You got to know a little bit about American history. Because in England, you could only worship through the Church of England. You could not evangelize without the permission of the Church of England in Europe. Did you know that in England? Did you know that when our founding fathers came over here and started evangelizing people, there was an issue made by King George III that you cannot evangelize people without the approval of the Church of England? Our founding fathers said, we'll never get messed up like that. There will be no government mandated religion in this nation. In that case, there will be a secular nation. Doesn't mean we don't believe in God. We'll be a secular nation, meaning we will not have a United States of America church. No way. You should have the freedom to not worship or worship. Only people who can think and reason could agree with that statement on the wall. Watch this. Or Congress cannot, look, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Did you know that Congress cannot tell you when, where, or how you can worship in your religious community? It is against the law for them to tell you that you can or cannot do your religious practice or not. When you go to hand out Bibles, you have a constitutional right provided by the founders who prayed, sought God, and saw the freedom and liberty available in Scripture, and they put it up before this nation. And if, listen, the greatest way to lose these freedoms is for you to tune this out and not vote wisely. By the way, do you know how we prevent bloody coups and revolutions in this country now? Anybody have an idea? How do we avoid bloody coups or, say it again, we vote. Every 2 or 4 years we have a revolution in this country without blood. You walk into a voting box and you vote. The power of the vote. Where does this freedom that God has given us apply? Where are we not to exercise this freedom? I want you to be thinking about that. And listen, we have a responsibility to God to do the right thing at all times. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says this. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means you can't do something to get saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Circle those two words. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works is or would be righteous acts, to do the right thing. Christian, all of us are to do righteousness. We are to do the right thing. Yeah, but I feel, forget your feelings. What's the right thing? What's the right thing to do? We are commanded by God to do the right thing. Those are good works. We're to do the right thing. Our second point tonight is this. Our biblical worldview on politics, asking this question of why should the Christian care, is because we are the voice for good. You are. I am. We are the voice for what is good. We know what is good because we have this. Well, you know, there's other opinions. I respect those other opinions. And I respect your freedom to be wrong regarding your opinion. Did you know? Listen. I mean, that sounds sarcastic, but I'm going somewhere with this. I'm old enough to have grown up in an America where if you and I disagreed with one another, at the end of the day, when we had our arguments and our debate, we went out and had pizza together. We didn't kill each other. We didn't pull out guns and shoot each other. You know what the definition of that is? Noah Webster gave it this definition in 1826. Tolerance. Ladies and gentlemen, young people today, you don't know the definition of the word tolerance. Tolerance today is, y'all got to think like I think, and if anyone doesn't think like I think, we'll destroy them. We will marginalize them. We will mock them into oblivion. That's not tolerance. That's tyranny. If you're tolerant, you can get along, even love someone who completely disagrees with your biblical worldview or your atheism or your agnosticism or your Hinduism or your Islam or whatever isms. Isn't it interesting? Today, I thought about this today. Please, listen. Today, a Harvard professor from Harvard. Look, if you have enough money today or whatever, you can get through Harvard, no problem. Okay, so tonight on the news, a Harvard professor has almost certainly discovered information that proves that Jesus had at least one wife, maybe more. And you know what I did as I was putting on my slip-ons tonight? And I saw that on the news. Wow. I said, wow. Are you kidding me? Constantly we are mocked. Constantly the Bible's ridiculed. Constantly Jesus' name, no one cuts their thumb and says, Mohammed, that hurt. No, they cuss the name Jesus, don't they? They cuss the name, the world cusses the name Jesus. And no one burns down something. Isn't that interesting? The Christian voice, biblically based, is a voice for good. It's a voice for the innocent. It's even the voice for the guilty. Our Judeo-Christian laws, jurisprudence in America is based upon the Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Why Should the Christian Care? You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
I have a friend that I was talking to the other day, and I said, do you think you're ready for the rapture? I had a reason for asking him that. Mm-hmm. Do you think you're ready for the rapture? And all of a sudden, in my own mind, I thought, David, are you ready for the rapture? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's an answer that you better get answered. Because...
I mean, I knew my answer, but I was...
Yeah. Listen, the scripture says that all those who have this hope, and that's referring to the rapture, all those who have this hope... will prepare themselves and to be ready to meet the Lord, because we will see him as he is. So we're to be living with a sense of expectancy. It should be the accelerant to the believer's life. Mm-hmm. Knowing that Christ could return at any time should cause me to be outdoing righteousness. I'm commanded to do that.
Yeah.
You see, Jack, how do you do that? How do you get involved maybe in promoting righteousness in an election, or promoting righteousness at the office, or promoting righteousness at the school board when Jesus could come back today?
Yeah.
My answer to that is, that's why.
Honestly, that's why. Because he could come back today.
Yeah.
I'm going to do righteousness, but I'm going to do righteousness if it's the next 30 years. I've got to be caught when he returns doing righteousness.
Yeah.
Hopefully that makes some sense.
I love that. What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Charles Ryrie. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.